He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday. It is the Monday, February 23rd, live from Scottsdale, Arizona edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. I'm in a warm Scottsdale, Arizona, very still in a chilly Charleston, South Carolina. And tomorrow we'll meet up in Houston. Right now we have a downdraft in the market after the Supreme Court decision on Friday. More tariff turmoil. The market initially liked it on Friday, and now it's worried again. The Dow is down 516 points right now, which equates to 1%. That puts the Dow at 49,109. The NASDAQ is down 136 to 22,750. The S&P is down 0.5% right now to 6,872. The bond market is steady, doesn't really care much about the tariffs one way or another. It's at 4.06. And the best hedge against the tariffs all along has been the precious metals. Gold's up 2.2% to 5,192. Silver's up 5.6% to 86.97. Crude oil is up 1.04%, as that's the other worry spot in the world over there in the Middle East. And Bitcoin remains very weak. It is at 65,733. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only money management firm. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst, certified financial planner. I am live from Scottsdale, Arizona, where I watched a couple of baseball games over the weekend. My San Diego Padres are one win and one loss since I've been here. But that loss came to the Dodgers, so that counts as five losses in our book. See, I did see the Dodgers yesterday, and we were pretty lifeless in 80-degree weather. I think, you know, look, Barry, I just came from freezing weather. My fountain was frozen, you know, for the last couple of weeks out in front, and all of a sudden I'm sitting in 80-degree weather, and I'm thinking, you know, the players, this has got to be a little bit hard on them, too, all of a sudden. I got a little bit of a sunburn yesterday, and but the Dodgers seemed to handle the heat okay. They scored four runs. We got one run. Anyways, it was a great day in the sun, and I will be speaking at Sun City West tonight at the little auditorium there, a big retirement community, and that will be at 7 p.m. Of Arizona time. Now, Friday was an interesting day in the markets. It actually ended up by the end of the day because the initial reaction by the market was, oh, good, the tariffs are gone. And I'm thinking, you know, he's just going to find another way around these tariffs. But the market did like the news on Friday. The Dow was up 0.5%. The NASDAQ was up almost 1% on Friday. And gold was up another 2.6%. Gold has definitely got its life back in it, and so does silver. Bitcoin, however, continues to really be soft. It closed at 67,000 on Friday, and now it's down, clear down at 65,000 on Monday, and just not proving itself very well as a dependable asset class.
Just can't get a bid
in times of duress.
Yeah, I mean, it's really just doing. I mean, really just floundering. As I mean, what's interesting is it's not. It doesn't seem to be. It's like no life to it. It's like it doesn't even react when there's bad news. You know what
no.
I mean? It's like it's just sitting there. Like
it's just a steady selling is what I see. Yeah. And any kind of rally is met with, oh boy, I'm getting out at the at this level on this latest rally. That just seems to be, and the flows out of the ETFs, which is another big problem. Most people have their exposure to Bitcoin through ETFs, which kind of defeats the purpose, really, of if you want to own this currency that is crypto and nobody can track it and all this kind of thing, and then you're buying ETFs, which really defeats the purpose. But the
You're definitely getting a 1099.
Yeah, anybody can track an ETF. So the ETFs can, and of course, anytime there's something new on Wall Street, there's a plethora of ETFs that come from it. And pretty soon, I remember all of the cannabis ETFs, and I remember others that came along on some new hot theme racing through the market. That, of course, crypto has been the latest fad, and it seems to be fading. I mean, that's all I can say. We did get some inflation data on Friday. I didn't get a chance to look into that too much. The PCE index, did you get a chance to look at that?
Yeah, covered that. I mean, it basically everything came in a tenth higher than expected, so it didn't matter which reading you want. It was all 0.1. Higher, but it was, I mean, when you look at it year over year, I mean, I think the PCE, I think, was 2.8, 2.9 for the year. So, you know, the top line number was under 3. I mean, just if you were looked at what inflation was 2 years ago, you'd think that was a vast improvement. And I think the core was right at 3 for the year. So nothing there to kind of, you know, alert the Fed in terms of, you know, scaring them into, say, raising rates. But certainly wasn't anything there that says, hey, you know, we need to start cutting. Right.
No, no. And I don't see any rate cuts until I don't see any rate cuts the first half of the year. Okay, they've stopped halting, or they've halted tariff collections for now. And he did turn it right around and impose a 10% global tariff on everybody. And then he upped the ante to 15% the next day. I think one way or another, they're going to figure out a way around it, and the tariffs will still be in place, but maybe he won't be able to choose some countries that are 20 and some countries that are 15. And so, you know, I think it may be a global tariff, but I think a president definitely has the powers to impose tariffs, just not in the manner, the law that he used, which was that emergency act, that the Supreme Court saw no precedent for that. They've never seen it used as a means of imposing tariffs, and that's why they ruled against it. But they also left it open, saying that doesn't mean he can't use other laws to impose tariffs. So at the end of the day, I almost see it as a non-event, other than causing some turmoil here.
I think it's turmoil, actually. Yeah, I think it's the uncertainty, right, and lack of clarity. We say it all the time. The one thing the market doesn't like is uncertainty, and I think that's, you know, probably, you know, honestly, I mean, I think he ends up with, you know, close to an outcome that he probably wanted to begin with, but
yeah,
just, you know, how long does it take to get there? When do we get there? What happens with the funds? You know, all these other things. I think the EU today announced that they were going to delay voting on on the trade package. I think the deal that had been drawn up. So it'll be interesting to see how some of this plays out. I think this is the beginning of it, and, you know, we'll see what the uncertainty overhang
does. And it's also important to keep in mind that the countries around the world are imposing tariffs on us, so there's got to be some kind of way for us to impose tariffs on them. That would be an unfair trade balance.
Maybe we call it a tip. You know,
yeah.
Didn't have to call it a tariff. Like, hey, if you want to do business here,
call it something.
Need a little
else.
Tip, and then here you go. Right on.
Yeah. Okay. Earnings this week. The big one, obviously, will be on Wednesday. That will dominate the earnings reports for this week when NVIDIA will report. And I would just say that in today's world, NVIDIA, which was once just kind of a graphics processor maker and for PCs and gamers, is now the most important report that we'll get this entire quarter. Today we've got a few, you know, Domino's Pizza, Dominion, which is a traditional utility. Tomorrow we'll get Home Depot, the pride of Atlanta. We'll get Realty Income, Workday, a few others, Kava. And then on Wednesday it's NVIDIA. And we'll have a report. We're getting an article written up, ready to go, Barry. As soon as they drop that news, we'll fill in the numbers as quickly as we can and get that article over to Seeking Alpha as quickly as we can. Also reporting on Wednesday will be Salesforce, which has been kind of a very controversial stock recently, a member of the Dow. We'll get Snowflake, Teladoc, we'll get Lowe's. So, hey, we're not out of the woods yet with these earnings reports. There's more to come. We'll be right back. Here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Barry, I once had a guy that was working for me in San Diego, and he had some T-shirts printed up with the hashtag BWRA, right. Which stood for Bill Was Right Again. My wife hid them somewhere. I don't know where they went. I think I got one in my drawer down there somewhere. How many times have we warned about private credit?
Yeah, a good bit. I talked about it a little bit on Friday, and was kind of hitting that Blue Owl story. It's a
yep.
It's a pretty. I mean, you know, from a warning standpoint, you've been on top of it. That and Bitcoin. I mean, honestly, just from a valuation standpoint, particularly from a liquidity standpoint on the private credit side, what's underneath the hood? What are they actually investing in? It's, you know, it's very opaque a lot of times. And so that's what that was the big story on Friday.
Well, here's the problem. This has grown. This was the hottest ticket on Wall Street. And I you know what? I think there ought to be another hashtag, WS. Let's see, WSWRA. Wall Street was wrong again. How many times have they been wrong? They were wrong about the NASDAQ back in 2000 and the new paradigm of the dot-com era that we had entered. They were wrong about the packaging of all of these mortgage loans to boost your returns, your dividend returns. And this was thought to be the cat's meow to give you big double-digit dividend returns, because obviously you're going to charge a private, if you're going to loan privately to somebody or some company, they're going to pay a much higher rate. And that's going to be passed on to the investor. That was the thinking behind it.
Yeah, and there's a lot of other terms. They may take some equity in the company too, right? I mean, there's all kind. I mean, the problem is there's so many different flavors. I mean, it's sausage making, right? I mean,
well,
you
and
don't
it,
know exactly.
Yeah, this gets right down into the Affirms and the Klarnas, right? That are selling off somebody that finances a pizza for easy payments on that pizza or on whatever you buy on Amazon. That is the worst risk that you could take, and they're packaging this crap and selling it to investors. And when I heard Franklin's CEO, which has been around forever, totally a big
Franklin
conservative
fund. Yeah, it's been
mutual
fund, yeah.
She said, oh, we're all on board. This is one of the best things ever. And I'm just cringing going, this is going to totally blow up in their face. And once again, investors will be left holding the bag. Well, it's a $1.8 trillion market. And all of a sudden, some of the loans underneath are starting to blow up. And people are starting to get nervous and get worried. And guess what? They want their money out of it. Now, what
called,
happens?
Called redemptions. They want to redeem what their investment.
And what happened to Silicon Valley Bank? People wanted to withdraw their money. All of a sudden, there's a run on the bank. The money's not there. So Blue Owl, which is a darling. Oh, it's a darling on Seeking Alpha. It pays an 8.9% dividend yield. And I've seen all the usual authors on Seeking Alpha that say, hey, retire on this dividend yield. Retire, you know, live the dream. Oh, uh-huh. Well, Blue Owl has redemptions. And so what did they do? They sold one of their big pools. And I guarantee you they're not selling them at face value. Maybe they are. I doubt it. Whoever bought them has to be stupid.
Well, I think that, yes, they bought that one. They sold it just under par. But then I'm thinking, too, you got to think they incur a lot of sales costs to just create the paper, right? So, I mean, they probably had to spend, you know, just call it, you know, some 5% their margin, right, in order to even create, right, the product. And then, of course, now they've offloaded it, but they offloaded
for a loss.
Close to par, but yeah, they certainly lost out on all the sales, you know, the sales costs that they've used to market this stuff. I mean, it's
But they have the cash they need to meet the redemptions.
For
maybe.
Now.
For now. Bought time is basically what they bought. So, you know, you look underneath and who has the most exposure here. Well, Owl is the tip of the iceberg, OWL. And underneath that, you've got some of these Ares Capital, which are publicly traded companies, ARES, Blackstone, which owns a bunch of this garbage, toxic waste, BX, Apollo, APO. Let's just take a look at one of these charts here. Let's just look at Apollo just for fun. Blue Owl has an ugly chart. Oh, Apollo is, oh, this is going to get worse. I mean, if you're looking for if you like shorting bad companies, bad company, right? These companies, they're in deep. And the problem is, it could very well, this could be another 2008, 2009. Although I don't think that $1.8 trillion is anywhere near. I wonder how much was in those, how big that market had grown. Barry, there's your assignment for the day. How big did the mortgage loan market grow in 08 and 09? How much did it grow to before it blew up in everybody's face and almost brought down our financial sector, by the way?
Well, and you don't have as much contagion, right? Because, like, of course, the house next to you that was, you know, that went in foreclosure, that event, you know, that affected your home price, right? No matter if you were continued paying your mortgage or not. But in this world, right? I mean, it's essentially it's capital that will, you know, basically disappear, right? I mean, it's the good news is you shouldn't have as much contagion in terms of, you know, like I said, it shouldn't affect your neighbor's house come infecting your house.
Now,
but it's an issue across, especially in the finance world. You know, it reduces the amount of future capital available for this stuff.
Yes, and private equity is just underneath it. They were also packaging and selling private company equity that is also going to blow up in everybody's face. I'm looking. So what they look. The key word is alternatives. You know how many times I got emails? Oh, you need to add alternatives to your portfolio to give people exposure to private credit and private equity. Oh, it all sounds good. Somebody's making a lot of money on the top. Commissions. Commissions is what they're making. No, I've seen that game before. They're looking out for themselves, and when it blows up, guess what? They've offloaded it all, the Carlyle Groups and the Blue Owls, and someone else is left holding the bag when these things become basically worthless at some point in time. And the investor who's invested in them, forget about it. I mean, you're like 20 or 30 cents on the dollar back when the dust settles. This is just beginning to explode. And it's only going to get worse. I'm looking at this one. TPG provides alternative asset management with capital growth, impact, solutions, market solution platform. You should see the chart on this thing. It's down 5.8% today, and the chart is starting to go right down to you know where. We'll be right back.
I've been in the right place, but must have been the wrong time. I'd have said the right thing.
but I must use the wrong line. I've been on the right trail, but I must use the wrong car. Hit us in a bad place, and I wonder what's good for.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. You know, I'm just looking at these charts. Blackstone, BX, look at that chart, Barry, BX. This is not good. This is not good. The tip of the iceberg is this Blue Owl story. Underneath the iceberg is the iceberg that the Titanic hit and sunk to the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean, unfortunately, because there's $1.8 trillion that they've put into this garbage, this toxic waste. And all of these charts, Carlyle Group, CG, BX, Blackstone, Ares, A-R-E-S, Apollo, APO, they are starting to tank. Now, I'm just going to give you one little thing here. The inverse fund that went up 400% when the banks blew up was SKF. Look at it, Barry. Look at that chart today. SKF. It's inverse.
Yeah. Right.
It's, you know, our friends at ProShares?
Yeah.
There's only $10 million in this little thing, but it is inverse the financials. And that's the sector. Like, you know, when I saw the software sector blowing up, I went looking for an ETF that was specifically aimed, an inverse ETF that was specifically aimed at the software stocks, and there wasn't one. But the financials has several that are aimed right at the financial sector. And this thing is not good at all, this private credit thing. You're just seeing the tip of the iceberg. You saw, like, the first shots being fired, you know, in the last several weeks. And it's just a massive accident waiting to happen. Okay, and it's happening. There it is. Okay, because, you know, a little bit of this, what's it do, Barry? It sets off selling. It sets off redemptions. Whether the credit of the fund is good or not, people are going to want out of it. And that's not how these things are engineered. You get your money back, you know, in increments, and at some point in time, they have to sell off the portfolio. Isn't that the only liquidity event? Or the company has to pay back the loan, right?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they borrowed the money.
Yeah. And,
they're not going to have the money to pay back the loan.
Well, and the problem is sometimes they have to go back and, you know, that they need, you know, these financing things are usually, you know, it's not a traditional loan. It's once they're, you know, it's a credit facility, and once their time's up, a lot of times they've got to go out and find someone else to lend it to them, right? So sometimes it's not the, you know, the issue isn't, say, the first person who lends to them, right? It's when they can't, you know, get that second round, and then, of course, the first one, you know, simply falls. It takes a little while for this stuff to play out, too. I mean, that's...
At least in a mortgage, you can take the home. What do you take here? Shares of the stock, the company that's going to hell? There's not a whole lot of collateral. It's almost as bad as Bitcoin. Anyways, this is not good. And the other one that is going to eventually blow up, it's the next shoe to drop, private equity returns dip for the fourth straight year. Well, you know, these hedge funds, they can't even keep up with the S&P 500 anymore. I just look at Bill Ackman and his recent buys. How is this any better than what the average person does? He's adding positions in Meta and Amazon. He's exiting Hilton, Canadian Pacific Railroad, and Chipotle. Okay, so, I mean, how is that? How is Bill Ackman?
How long has he been in Chipotle? That's been
that's a disaster. And Nike. Nike hasn't done. So how is there an advantage investing with a hedge fund manager over just buying the index? And then now he's not private equity, but now let's go down the line to private equity where they've packaged all these funds. I get calls all the time, and I'm going to look at their chart right now. Their idea was to package private companies and, oh, Lord have mercy, to sell them off to the public. And I said, you know what? This stock is eventually going to get clobbered. Stepstone, STEP. They're going to change the symbol from step to stomp. Oh, look at that, Barry. It's down 11.1%. Now, keep in mind, I don't know if they have private credit. I think they're private equity. At least you own something. You own the company underneath it, but it's a private company with no liquidity.
Yes, well, sometimes the company is not worth anything either. So that's
no. This is going to be a cascade.
You took the word out of my mouth. This is one of the things that can cascade, right? Potentially, and all it takes is as you reduce confidence in these types of things that in turn increases the pace of redemptions, that in turn increases forced selling or unwinding if the company if the investment has the liquidity and ability to do it, and a lot of times they don't. So
yeah, well, this Stepstone, which decided to democratize give the little guy exposure to private companies like they do in Silicon Valley, right? With the big Anthropics and the OpenAI and SpaceX and all of the big ones. But underneath that, it gets really, really dicey. Really, 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 really dicey. And that's what Stepstone is basically selling to people. Look at that chart. Oh, these private equity companies, they are just going to get clobbered. Carlyle Group. Oh, okay. Well, you heard it here, and you've been hearing it here for a long time. I've been warning about this stuff. I wouldn't touch it with a 100-foot pole, let alone a 10-foot pole. And yet that was the hottest thing. You know how many conferences across America I was invited to where somebody was going to educate me on, alternatives. The buzzword.
We were getting, pummeled.
Pummeled.
I said,
no thanks. I'll take a 6-7 year bond on a nice good company, get my, the original investment back at the end of the term, and in the interim, I'm going to collect 5 or 6%. You've got something better than that, huh? I'd like to see what it is. Does it have liquidity? No. What kind of risk is it? Horrible, but you get a double-digit return, Barry. See, anytime you have a return over a market return, there's trouble. A lot of these companies that have been selling this crap have been companies that Blue Owl, do you know how many articles Blue Owl has had written about it on Seeking Alpha because of the dividend yield that it pays?
I was going to say, yep, the yield.
And as the price goes down, the yield's going to go up. And the theory is, I saw an article on it today. He said, this worry about Blue Owl is, not warranted. Are you kidding me? The yield is 8.4%. And obviously, as the stock goes down, the yield goes up. But that yield is at big risk. Why am I spending so much time on this? Because there's $1.8 trillion of people's individual money, IRAs, well, Roths, 401ks, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and we've seen clients' money is wrapped up in this type of stuff before. Private REITs.
The private REITs.
Yeah,
the non-traded REITs were the last big idea they had.
It's definitely not traded because we have ones that are, still sitting here and trying. They transferred in and. Unfortunately, it's not at liquidity. Every 3 months or so, right, you put in the redemption request. Sometimes you may get some liquidity. A lot of times you get, you put it in 3 months later again. And it's, you know, I mean, it, what you're trying to do is just warn folks of, you know, don't chase the shiny yield, you know, light all the time. You got to know what's underneath there and, you know, be careful. Liquidity is very, very important.
And, you know, it'll be a matter of time before they dream up something else. I mean, and it went from the mortgage loans, then it went to private real estate, non-traded
reinsurance.
REITs.
The reinsurance market was a big one at one point. It was the
before, I'll tell you
before
what
you had
I
a
see
string
on,
of hurricanes, you know, one after another in Florida for a handful of years.
I'll tell you one I see on TV that, why refi? They're doing this. This is what they're doing. I mean, it's basically one step above, you know, what Madoff was doing. They're taking money. They're offering you 12, you know, and liquidity, they say. I don't think it's going to work out well. I think it's going to really blow up in people's face. And I see a lot of well-known people that they've hired as spokespeople for why refi, but if you look underneath the surface of why refi, it's private credit. Well, I hate to worry you all, but this is the tip of the iceberg. So anyways, when we come back, I want to talk about the AI fears, which has also been running through the market. Is it going to replace all of these software companies or enhance them? We'll be right back.
On a winter's day, you gotta go where you wanna go, do what you wanna go, do it with whoever you wanna be. You gotta go where you wanna go, do what you wanna go, do it with whoever you wanna.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Best Inverse Funds Now show, FAS, F-A-Z, FAS. Not Fez. Steely Dan had a song about Fez. Fez is a hat, right? But FAS is three times inverse the financial sector, Barry.
Three times.
It's up 9% today, okay? I think during the mortgage crisis, The SKF, which is two times, three times didn't exist back then. I think it was up four. You can look it up on the app. It was up over 400% in 08 and 09.
As you can imagine, 08, 09 helped fuel the rise in inverse ETFs from then on to what we got now, you know, really.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that one guy, Burry, that's how Burry, right,
Made Michael
his,
Burry, yeah.
He went looking for a product that inversed. He knew the mortgage loans were going
to
blow up, which I did too,
he
but I never found a product.
He had to find people who wanted to take the other side.
Wrote a product for him.
Yeah, right, they made one, exactly.
Now you've got totally liquid. Although, you know, there are some firms, I've had people say, I'm not able to buy, I'm not able to go short against Cathie Wood with SARC. They won't let me do it at
Vanguard,
Fidelity.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's okay. You got to go where you want to go, do what you want to do, invest with who you want to invest with. But the FAS is up 9.1% today. Okay, the other story I wanted to talk about here. is the crypto story. MicroStrategy, during the last several weeks, he's doubling down on his strategy. His stock, he bought $40 million worth of Bitcoins over the last week. And if you go to the Best Stocks Now app, you'll find that his stock, MSTR, MicroStrategy, Michael Saylor, is down 63% over the last 12 months, 63%. And yet he's still buying Bitcoin. And, you know, I've seen the same thing before where these people, they double down, they triple down, they quadruple down on their strategies. And he's down 63% over the last 12 months.
Well, the interesting thing is if the advisor community did that for their own clients, right? I mean, it would be, it'd be considered malpractice, right, to some degree. But then, of course, if you have a company.
He runs a publicly traded
company.
That's
what I'm saying. He's running a publicly traded company and doing it. But,
I can't believe
and using that, leverage. And using leverage to get there, too, by the way.
But. Yeah, I would think the shareholders are not too happy, what's left of them. Okay, a few other ones here this whole AI fear thing. So you're getting a bunch of downgrades today. Workday, DocuSign, Monday.com, Fresh, FRSH, Freshworks, being downgraded because of AI fears. Well, I think the theme that AI is going to replace us all is misguided. I think Wall Street has it wrong. And you saw a sell-off in the NASDAQ over the last, we had a five-week losing streak that ended last Friday because of these AI fears. That's not to say there won't be individual companies that will be hurt badly by AI. And I think for the most part, these ones that Jefferies is calling out are probably very, very vulnerable. The Workdays, the ServiceNows, the Salesforces of the world are very, extremely vulnerable. Adobe, and it's showing up in the stocks. But to sell the whole NASDAQ off because of that, that's where I had an issue. I think it was unwarranted. And, of course, the NASDAQ did close up last week. I think it was up 1.5% last week. And I just think to paint the whole NASDAQ with that broad brush, and I think the same could be said for the financial sector. Not every financial company out there has exposure to this private credit, but there's a lot of them. There's a lot of them. I mean, if it goes as deep as I think it goes, you think it gets into the big banks? Do you think J.P. Morgan has exposure to private credit? I don't know. I remember him. Ask Grok.
He said, what do you call it, the cockroaches, right, when you see something. Well, he had the cockroaches.
But wasn't he on board with private credit there, Jamie Dimon?
I think he's okay with whoever he lends, in his term, his company lends money to, but he certainly is quick to say that there's cockroaches other places. He doesn't say that they have any. It doesn't mean they don't, by the way. It's his interpretation that they don't have any cockroaches, right?
Well, there's several gradations of private credit. Meta and whatnot, that's not private credit. I mean, they've all been using a lot of credit to fund their investment in AI. Right?
Yeah, and there's good parts of private credit. Where we learned a lot about GE Vernova. They buy, they've got all these, turbines and, leased equipment, right? The leased equipment leasing, proportion, right, is part of private credit, but that, right, is dependent on, how well the equipment's maintained, right? What's the, what's the collateral? What's the, agreement on the lease, right? What's the provisions to take the equipment back, right? So all that stuff makes a stronger, credit risk. The problem is all private credit isn't created equal, and you've got, there's certainly some not so great parts of private credit that are going to be the scary.
And
the hardest thing is differentiating between one and the other.
I'll close with this one. I mean, Affirm, AFRM, is giving credit to people buying on Amazon. All right? And then they're offloading that credit. They're allowing you to buy. You can take the choice. How about four easy payments? How about 12? That stock's down 6.1% today. Now, I think, from what I understand, they offload and sell it. The buyer of that, but they're not going to find buyers of their private credit going forward. And so this is like a domino chain that Blue Owl is the first one domino to hit. But I think this is not good. Okay, we're out of time. I'll be speaking tonight in Sun City West, Arizona. And then Wednesday night I'll be speaking in Houston. You got to go where you want to go. I've always said choose your gurus wisely. And I've always said avoid alternatives like the plague. That's the hottest ticket on Wall Street over the last couple of years. and we've avoided it like the plague that it is. And now it's starting to infect investors and a lot of channels here. This is not going to be good. To get our newsletter, GundersonCapital.com, to talk to us about money management, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.